in this talk are solely my own and do not reflect any opinions or beliefs of my employer, the Ministry of the Interior and Kingdom Relations. My employer didn't pay for my travel or stay or time here, and these are my days off. That's for the small legal disclaimer. So this is my governmental profile in the Netherlands. I showed it this last year. They did get it fixed, but they didn't clean it up. So I still have my very secure confetti, nor did they put some content security policy on it. So who am I? Well, in my daily life for the government, I work as a standard advisor. I mainly work with internet.nl. It's a compliancy testing tool that will check if you have your security standards set up in a correct way. For example, it will also check the content security policy. And I advise the government, we advise the government to have some sane standards, mandate, make security.txt mandatory for all Dutch websites, or advice on RPKI to prevent some BGP hijacking, of course not all. But how did it start? How did I end up here? It actually started at the Postcast conference in 2023. I like Postgres, I like Bash, I like hacking. And somebody said to me, well, these the Air France KLM short codes they send over, these are too short. Are they secure? I thought, well, 90 billion combinations should be secure, but let's just verify that with some simple bash. And it ended up being not so secure. So at the CCC 2 years ago, I had a lightning talk about this. A lot of people congratulated me with this hack, but guessing URLs is not a hack, right? So then I was saying to friends over beer, like, yeah, I always want to hack something more substantial, something with, I don't know, a race condition or something, maybe the local parking system. It should be doable, because probably these people don't think about transactions or properly do this. Well, what is a race condition? A race condition in software occurs when two concurrent threads execute and access some shared resource in a way that maybe gives some unintentional results depending on the timing how that's executed. And you can also, there's also a common weakness in enumeration for it. It's improper enforcement of a single unique action. And an attacker might be able to gain some benefit from this. So this is very old. This is like, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years old. It's described, it's done before. A nice example, I think, was with Facebook. Somebody find out you could like rename your username in like 10 times in at the same time, and you could end up with like multiple usernames in the end, all pointing to the same profile. This was 2015. And then there was even a better hack. It was hacking Starbucks for unlimited coffee. And that was also 2015, May 2015. So you might wonder, do these things still work? Everyone uses proper transactions now, right? You all use transactions, right? This was actually before vibe coding, so. The thing is, of course, will AI use transactions nowadays? So this is my little city parking system. You have to log in very securely with our own governmental secure login system. And then you can create like subaccounts, and you can transfer credits between these subaccounts. What could possibly go wrong here, right? So this is the simple screen you have, moving value from an account to an account. How would you do this? Well, maybe open up the inspector, do something very... Of course, inspector is almost hacking, right? right-clicking, going in a submenu, copy as curl, my favorite. And then you just need this to execute something nine times in parallel. And then paste the curl. And what would happen? Transfer. Another transfer. That's weird. Another transfer. Another transfer. And then it fails. Of course, most of these people are running a backend with something maximum 4 in parallel, and they kind of hit a limit. But I ended up with, like, I don't know, 666 hours of parking. The problem is even I don't even have a car. But okay, so this was too easy, right? This took me actually 30 seconds to do, because I sat in a signal thread with some friends, like, I will say start and stop when I hacked it, and it was like, I don't know, 30 seconds. So, yeah. So what goes wrong? Well, you have these two threads. They both read from the database. Is there enough balance? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And then they do an update. And that update actually, in this case, was actually probably done in a proper transaction. But only the update, not the check. Then you lose. So you have to wrap it all in a transaction or do different stuff. But the new challenge in the new challenge was actually this was oh no this was a new problem. I had an account with like negative hours. How do you solve this, right? Another very advanced feature, inspector. Inspect element. You have this kind of like this disabled thing. Would it just work to remove the disabled, right? I mean, why copy curl, change the ID? Would it just be a nice UX and just only do zero checking? Well, of course it would work. And yeah, I didn't copy the response, but I could just delete the negative amounts. And then my friend said, like, yeah, it's nice. Now you have like unlimited thing, but you have to have like more than 1,000 hours in one account, right? Otherwise, it's yeah. I hit new problems, like the system saying, well, the number of minutes exceed the balance, and the top of exceed the balance limit, because those accounts were limited to 260 hours, because you couldn't add more. I already had more, but yeah, now I needed like 1,000 hours. Of course, the solution is always use more Bash. What I did is I needed some helper accounts, like all these different sub accounts with all like more than 200 hours, but not exceeding the maximum, and then move those all in once in still a very poor way with Bash and curl to the same account. So you can do a little trick with an at sign, and yeah, it's that easy. And then you might wonder who is building these things. Well, it's the SIGMAX. It's for a secure city. And this is some city permit system, and it's apparently used like everywhere in the Netherlands. So some timeline. I found this issue just actually before the CCC 2 years ago. Then I submitted this as a private conference, got accepted there, presented it there. Then I submitted it at a very nice Dutch governmental security conference, got rejected. Then I submitted it last year for CCC, it was rejected. Then I submitted it for a Y conference, it's a camp in the Netherlands. It got accepted, so then I need to publish the, then I need to inform the vendor, of course. So this is not the best timeline, of course. So I I informed the vendor 3 days, I think, 3 days before the public conference. I said like, probably you should add some checks on your database, and you can watch the talk. It's live streamed. And I actually got the next day got a reply from the security officer. So that was pretty nice. And later I also got a reply from the municipality that it was fixed. Quotes there. The reply from the CISO, I would expect like something like don't publish your results or something, but no, they were very friendly. Thank you for the information, and we will look into it shortly. And then the city parking system came back, the municipality came back, and I got the question to check if it fixed now and to check it in production. My balance is still there, so I've still like, I don't know, 1500 thousands, I don't know how many hours, but way too much. And now they're even stopping the parking in my city center, so I don't know what to do with it. I think it's at the 1st of January, I cannot park anywhere anymore, so, and I don't have a car, but, well. Then I tried to delete a sub-account with 1 minute on it, in production. That still worked. But now my account cannot create new sub-accounts. So, somehow my something is fixed, but my account kind of went into limbo. So never test in production. what should you do to prevent these things? The poor solution is just have a single-threaded database. Because that would, you don't have parallel problems, right? I spoke with some people from a hospital, and it worked for them for an internal system, but probably not for your web system. But this is better than no transactions, probably. better use transactions and then use them also with the balance check in it, not just transaction for the update, because you saw that doesn't work. And have some check constraint on your database, because if they would have a check constraint on the negative balance or very positive balance higher than the max value they set, that would have and then wrap it in transaction, that would have rolled back everything. So that would have also fixed it, but people don't add check constraints to their database nowadays anymore. I think they just use ORM or Vibe codes or whatever. And of course, the double bookkeeping also works, mostly in use with financial systems. But you probably also want to do that for credit systems. And always test your hypothesis, because a lot of times I think like, oh, this system, this will not happen, right? If I test this, if I just check a million URLs, they will block me or something. Well, most of the time it's still broken. And the same with these transactions, it's very easy to check. I would have expected that it would take way more effort to actually do this race condition, because in this curl example, I'm setting up the TLS all in parallel. It has all these delays, but it still works with a simple 10 times parallel curl, right? And because probably the database was, or the backend was slow. So if you have an optimized system, you might need to tweak these things. And where would you look for more of these kind of race conditions? On my list are like every system that transfers credits, but probably not real money, because most of the time those are pretty well pen tested. But if it's something like pseudo money, parking credits, some credit to do something, I don't know, Ripe has some credit for Atlas system, stuff like that, not real money, pseudo money. Those systems are probably vulnerable, because people don't use the transactions well. So I will be probably checking more of these systems. So watch out if you have any public system. And I would also advise you all to just check it yourself if you are using correct transactions and transactions on your complete checking and updating of the thing you're doing. And I'm going through it a bit faster than expected. So you can contact me on IPv4 only on GitHub, and on IPv6 only on IPv6 camp on Mastodon. And that will also check if your Mastodon server actually has IPv6. Because it's only available on IPv6, and we encountered some issues with that. That was it.
Thank you so much for your talk. We still have time for questions. Please go to your next microphone if there are any questions. Microphone one, please.
Hello. Your talk focused on a system for transferring credits, some kind of credits. My question is, were the credits stored as floats in the database or in the API?
Were the values stored as floats? I don't know. I think they were stored as integers, as minutes.
Okay.
Because otherwise, yeah, of course you could end up with problems there. I've seen systems before having, for example, I once had a lottery system with some housing thing, and they allowed you to have 3 lottery tickets. But I could always also do like 32,687 or something, because that's, yeah, sometimes you see like you have these random boundaries, of course, and you can up it a bit. But if it's float, would you have a floating precision error you're hinting at, or what?
Well, there's a lot of shenanigans you can do with floating point numbers.
Yeah, maybe add like almost, or transfer almost zero amounts, but then still transfer minutes. Yeah, that probably that would happen. I would always advise people to use integers.
Yes, especially when handling money.
Yes, I've did some voting systems in the past, and there you definitely want to use integers and fractions and never anything else, because otherwise you end up with wrong results. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. There is another question at microphone 4, please.
Yeah, thank you for the great talk. I was wondering, it's a bit off topic, but what kind of issues did you encounter with the IPv6 only Mastodon instance?
Well, for example, the governmental Mastodon, social.overheid.nl or social.gov.nl, it has an IPv6 address, but not an IPv6 network behind it anymore. It had, but apparently it was removed. And then the server, the Mastodon server, needs to connect back, but then it can fail on multiple ways. It can have a resolver that doesn't that cannot resolve IPv6 only name servers, and it can fail with actually connecting out with IPv6. So yeah, you can, if you are doing IPv6 only stuff, you will end up with lots of problems sometimes. So I advise to go to internet.nl, and there are also some checks on if your, for example, if your name server actually does a IPv6 connection to IPv6 only name servers.
Thank you very much.
We have another question at microphone 3.
Thanks for your talk. So you could say that the issues you found are due to lack of maybe standards. Luckily, we now have somebody working at a standardization organization. Do you, and how do you plan on using your position there to solve these types of issues?
Well, I don't think this is a standard problem, because it's already solved in SQL, right? But people are not using transactions. I mean, I ask around quite a lot, like, do you use transactions in production? And a lot of people are not using transactions. They're just updating, they're just using their ORM and updating, and that can even, yeah, have more problems with caching. So, yeah, it's pretty hard it's not hard to check for these things, so it's hard to educate people that they should do this. So that's one of the reasons, of course, I'm giving this talk here, to at least for all you people, at least use transactions in your systems if you have anything of value. Because, yeah, it could be everything. It could also be renaming your account and ending up in limbo, or... there are a lot of systems where you sometimes get a message like, please don't refresh this screen right now. I always wonder what happens if I will open up 100 connections right now. Will it then open up 100 doors, or maybe 80 doors, or I don't know. So a lot of people are not using transactions in their code, and that's giving lots of problems. But you can use it. It's all standardized in SQL, but you do need to use it. So that's the main problem.
Thanks.
There is another question at microphone 6.
Hi, could you quickly explain what transactions actually are?
Well, database transactions, they will, if done properly, at least for the part you're reading and writing, will mutex, so it will be mutual exclusive to do a certain operation, or it can be mutual exclusive, and otherwise be... for example, the thing you're seeing here, having the read and then the different read and the update and the update, if you would use a transaction, the second read would not be allowed. It would be delayed, and it would be played under the update. Somebody is nodding. This is a simple explanation if you would do a mutual exclusive thing in a transaction. It could also happen that it would be rolled back in a certain case, but you can make it with a transaction that these things can actually be executed correctly, and that the second read will fail because, or at least the read will return the updated value, and the check will then not pass, and your second transfer will be blocked. So if you do a start transaction and then select a value for update and do that correctly and then check that correctly, then you can make it so that it won't error or it won't have a race condition.
We have another question from the internet, please.
Have you ever tried transferring the negative balance out of the account by transferring negative credits?
I'm unsure. But I think I tried, but I think they had a check for negative minutes in their input. So I think I tried it, and I think they had a check for that. But yeah, I normally try to do this weird stuff. Yeah. And I probably didn't try it, actually, the previous question about floats. I probably didn't try to transfer half a minute, stuff like that. But yeah.
Are there any more questions? Microphone 1, do you have a question?
Hello, thank you for the talk. I have more of a comment than a question. And
please ask a question.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Are you actually sure that the transaction isolation level will make sure that the second read will fail? Because I had the impression that with normal transaction isolation levels, in that case, the second read would get the same data because the other thread would not have committed the transaction. And by default, that would... So the check constraint should still work, but...
Yeah, there are four levels of transaction isolation. So on the lowest level of transaction isolation, it probably would not work. On a higher transaction isolation level, it would work. So it depends on your isolation level of your transaction. That's the answer. So yeah, transactions are tricky to do correctly also, yeah.
Another question at microphone 1.
Yes, hello. So I have a question about your disclosure process. Because I have a feeling that I would not call that responsible disclosure. You gave them just a couple of days before, and actually, as you mentioned, told them you can watch the live stream. Do you think that that's a nice way to approach these things?
I did actually email them, like, the quick fix to fix this is to just at least have a check on the delete of your accounts, and probably checking if an account only allow an account balance delete of zero, that would at least give them a full audit trail. So that should be a single if statement to add. I advise them to put an if statement of zero and then delete, then they would still have their complete audit trail of any wrongdoings of everyone. But indeed, the timing of the disclosure was not optimal. But yeah, this is something I do in my free time. So they were still happy with some disclosure beforehand. But could have been done better and a bit more timely. But I don't think this system is mission critical. And if you're a company saying you have like secure software for city permits, yeah, then maybe have a pen test on your system. You can still have a bit of better timing here. I totally agree. But still, yeah, they were happy at least. I gave them some tips in the email to fix this or at least have another trail for this.
We have another question from the internet.
This one's way off topic, I believe, from another universe, and it's a two-part. Do you like whiskey, and would you like some?
If it's vegan, yes.
Okay, I don't know how to answer that, but I believe Milliways is saying they're pouring whiskey if anyone would like some after the talk.
We have another question on microphone 6, please.
Is there a refund for the credits?
Yeah, actually, my friends also joked about that. Like, you only get credit if you get like your account minutes to euros again, because that would have been very nice. I'm still unaware of it, though. I should try to complain now, because I cannot even park my car because they're stopping to allow car parking in the city center. So I will maybe send them an email how I can redeem my a few thousand hours of parking credit. I don't know how much it is worth. I heard it's 40 euros per 200 minutes, so they should do some calculation here.
Then microphone 1, please.
Woohoo! Since you, comment and a question. Did you know you wore the same T-shirt on both occasions?
Okay. It's my favorite Swells T-shirt, yes.
Lovely. Question. I happen to know Sigmax. I cycle past it every day. Yes, I'm from Enschede. Did you inform them about this talk and this exposure on this big screen?
No. But
they can watch the talk.
Sorry?
But they can watch this talk.
Yes, but it is probably fixed now, right? And it's like a...
You can check.
or at least if you try to do this, you will get your account into a limbo and you will have a full audit trail. So it's I would say it's fixed-ish. But don't test in production, please. We have actually rules in the government not to test in production, and then I still did it, and yeah, stupid.
Microphone 3, please.
Do you think not doing responsible disclosure in this way is one of the reasons why we get such a bad name sometimes?
It's medium responsible disclosure. I think it's all gray, right? You have no disclosure, then you have a disclosure with three months or 90 days of disclosure time, and yeah, there was 3 days, so that's 10% responsible disclosure.
Microphone 3, please.
Hi, thank you for the talk. Would you expect a company with a reputation of not using transactions and doing client-side checks on things that you should check on a server to also have SQL injection vulnerabilities?
I don't know if I checked for this.
I think I would.
But I think most of the frameworks kind of check or kind of parameterize their SQL and kind of make it very hard to do these things. But yeah, you sometimes see SQL injection indeed. But I'm unsure. I would think they won't have it. But it is. You should test it, of course. That was my whole payoff, of course. Just test everything you think is not the case.
Okay. A lot of people I know have a sort of not invented here syndrome, and that's a reason to use certain patterns of coding that lead to not using transactions, and the same type of patterns pervade in other areas like SQL injection. So I would be very unsurprised if they have the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, it could be the case, but I definitely see a way less use of transactions than I see SQL injection. So that's, I think, a different problem. People think like, yeah, I'm secure because I parameterized everything. I use nice APIs. I use a nice backend. I use a nice front end without any cross-site scripting. But they can still then have like a logical flaw like this race condition by not using transactions. So it's, I think this is a thing that will that can happen to most systems, I would say. Well, SQL injections, I would say that's a minority of the systems, I hope. But it's probably still in the top 10.
Yeah. Nowadays, I mean,
Could you please stick to questions? If you want to talk to the speaker later, I'm sure he'll be happy to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions? I don't see anyone running to a microphone, so I think there are no more questions. So thank you very much, Benjamin. Please give round of applause for Benjamin and his great talk.